Well, only one show this week. Did you miss me? Well, the next 2 weeks there'll be twofers. That'll be a lot of fun. We have quite a show today. A convergence of much is ongoing, and we'll find out all about it in the next 3 hours or so. This is the Truth, Honour and Integrity Show. My name's Thomas Williams. Enjoy the show. Hi all, and welcome to another week of the Truth, Honour and Integrity Show. Lots more common sense, lots more hammers. I might just ruin a few things. In what has been a difficult week to formulate a show, even though I had a whole week off. Yeah, right. With what is relevant, what is interesting, and I had to make many changes this week. And it's all part of the convergence. And let's get going. A website is claimed to have obtained a trove of personal data from the Freedom Convoy donors as the main fundraising platform for the backers for the Canadian anti-vaccine mandate truckers has suffered an alleged hack and went offline. The Distributed Denial of Secrets, DDoS, whistleblower site announced it had been given 30 megabytes of information on the donors of the Christian fundraising site Give, Send, Go, including the names, email addresses, zip codes and IP addresses. And they said this data won't be made available to the public, but it will only be provided to journalists, which means agencies, and researchers due to its sensitive personal nature. Yeah, right. It's all going to the agencies then, isn't it? And what the Canadian convoy has shown us in stark details is, one, more people are starting to wake up and take actions, and that is great to see. But two, the clowns will use or create these events for their own ends. In the October 2nd show last year, I raised the prospect of Canada using the Emergency Act with this as an opening piece. There is an important document just released by the Canadian government about a new Emergency Act signed in Saskatchewan, but also in some American states that got missed, that has the potential to bring in the military of varying nations to enforce the fake emergency. Perhaps it's the UN, like in Australia, I said. And yes, the cops were in green, all very topical, like last week. And you throw in the Illuminati card Truckers 101, and you have the recipe for stage-managed events that the majority of the public are not savvy enough to comprehend. And what is clear now is the convoy was a product of the problem, reaction and solution game. The public provided the reaction, their solution all along was the Emergency Act, which was also implemented in some American states. And the fallout of this was the Emergency Act was issued not after. It was issued after, not before or during the event, but after. All of which means it was pre-planned. And of course, this Emergency Act also allows the people involved to be facially recognised, the funds for the convoy suspended, and now the details of all of those who supported it will be put on a database for potential terrorists. And those that paid donations under the Emergency Act, which included a banking bill, I might add, can now have their accounts suspended or deleted under the banner of state or province terrorism. And we have to be more savvy in action and activism than this. More clever ways of fighting back than protests. And what this has also revealed is the alt media is corrupt. It was they who pushed this, made it viral, and drove the whole event. Now, this is not news to our listeners, but painfully short with members of all other groups, and a lack of understanding leads to poor and costly decisions. The alt media followers have to learn they're being played by agency-based people, and I warned of this 6 years ago that over 90% were corrupt, and that figure has increased and is an epidemic within our community. Alt media hosts and groups are leading the people off to the end of the cliff into an abyss, and don't give a Fauci. Some of them are paid, and some of them are acting to pay back for their previous crimes. Now, back in 2018, I got a report that a military, US military, likely a Black Sun general, was paying show hosts $5,000 to not have me on their show and to turn against me. And if that's true, that shows you, one, how they work against those who won't play their game, and two, we are right on target, the right path, and our destination and journey is not only for the truth, but self-development. And those two traits are the biggest threat to the globalist liars, politicians, think tanks, bots, do-nothings, agency goons, and badges of dishonor people. Why? Because they can't control either of them, should you choose that path. Now, that opening piece was written last Friday, but the update as of today, Trudeau cancelled the Emergency Act. More convergence? Maybe. Why? Well, it could be twofold. They pushed in the banking portion, which will stay, and or now they have another distraction in Ukraine. And remember what I said just 2 months ago, the end of COVID would bring this. At that point, the clowns will wish to end the cycle, but we must be aware they will likely have to create something else on a massive scale to replace it as a distraction. False flags may increase again, and more potential war flare-ups with Russia and Iran, and possibly India and Pakistan, to become unstable again. As the UN website went down last week and returned with a new message, peace, dignity and equality on a healthy planet. Now, if only with that was true. But who is the peace, dignity and equality for, is the great question. And maybe in the next week or so, we'll find that out. Now, what is likely UN, and I've had confirm in the background that is UN going into Canada, heavy volumes of them. What was likely UN mercenaries replete in green, well, I never, disguised as Ottawa police, went on the offensive against the Freedom Convoy protesters in Canada last Friday, using the stocks of their guns, horses and pepper spray to disperse crowds after the Canadian Crime Minister, all three of him, Justin Trudeau, invoked emergency powers. Now, armed riot police moved in on the protesters after repeatedly declaring the protests unlawful and warning those involved that they would be arrested if they refused to leave. Now, one viral video showed protesters being trampled upon by mounted police on horses, while another showed an officer violently beating and kneeing an already wounded man to the ground. Police officers were also recorded beating a downed protester with a gun stock and ripping a Canadian flag out of another person's hand. And protesters and journalists alike were pepper sprayed by the police, with the journalist Andrew Lawton claiming to have been pepper sprayed despite being several feet away from their front line and obeying every order to move back. Now, Ottawa Police, or the UN, confirmed 70 arrests on Friday, although some reports placed the number as high as 100. And two key figures behind the protests were arrested also. Now, several Canadian MPs condemned the police violence, which is good to hear, accusing Trudeau of ordering authoritarian military-style measures to deal with peaceful protesters. Of course they had used military-style measures. That was in the Emergency Act I warned of back in October last year. But where were these MPs back then? Where were you lot then to stop it? And where are the cops speaking out against these Stasi tactics? Not an odd one of you. I mean lots of you. The people are getting angry and you lot are on the front line. And it's time you stop being complete jackasses forever, as some of you will lose your lives fighting to protect a crumbling and treasonous system. The police, like scientists and medical people, you will become pariahs. Think different. Representative Yvette Herrill of New Mexico said on Saturday that she would be introducing legislation that would grant temporary asylum to those involved in the Canadian trucker protests. And she said, just as we provide asylum for political prisoners, we should do the same for the truckers who have been subjected to violence, had their property confiscated and their bank accounts frozen by a government that is quickly becoming the embarrassment of the free world. Good stuff. And she said, I'm introducing legislation that would temporarily grant asylum to innocent Canadian protesters who are being persecuted by their own government. We cannot be silent as our neighbours to the north are treated so badly, she added. And between Friday and Saturday, officials said that 170 people were arrested in Ottawa in connection with the demonstrations. And that's a very noble thing to do and say. Now, hopefully, it will give other states the encouragement to encourage togetherness. The crossover of news, sentences and memes that come from our show is converging more and more each week. And here's another example of that. A Catholic priest in Arizona is learning the hard way that words matter. Words, in essence, are matter. An abstract frequency turned into a form. But after a one-word gaffe forced officials to invalidate thousands of baptisms he had conducted over many years, and the church officials say that the priest Andres Arango used the word we instead of I during baptisms. And Catholics believe that only Jesus Christ has the power to baptize, not the wider community or the church. Now, Mr. Arango has resigned from his position and apologized. But according to the Catholic Diocese of Phoenix, Reverend Arango was reciting the words used for baptisms incorrectly until the 17th of June last year. and the church has now declared all baptisms he conducted up until that date now as invalid. That'll be interesting. But at the centre of the controversy is Mr. Arango's use of the word we instead of I in the phrase, I baptise you in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But where is the mother? And the common sense question is, how can someone who died 2,000 plus years ago baptise you? Are these priests acting like clones or avatars? And who appointed them as representatives of Jesus? Think about those questions deeply. As the masked man, Biden, is wheeled out to talk his usual babble, stating the world will hold Putin accountable for unprovoked and unjustified attacks on Ukraine. Really, Mr. Biden, or whoever you are. Did the world hold America accountable for attacking 60 plus countries since World War II? Did the world hold Israel accountable for at least 30 raids that they've done on countries? What makes Russia any different? Because if NATO had stuck to the agreements in 1991, this would not have unfolded. If the CIA stopped meddling in the Ukraine and many other countries, this would not be unfolding either. And remember, the Bidens have got business dealings in Ukraine. Is he worried they'll get found out? And how is it the media just happened to go live at the same time as the alleged explosions? More stage theatre? More on that later. But the BBC excelled themselves again this week with an MI6 agent acting as a journalist called Sarah Rainsford, who was sent forth to report on Ukraine. And she and they were passing on comments on a Putin speech on Monday. And all the staggering hypocrisy just flowed. And someone clearly got an inside memo and reversed all the words and pinned it on the boogeymen of Russia, because the article in the BBC was riddled with accusing others of doing what they have done and also misdirection. And Putin rightly states that NATO promised in a 1991 agreement called the 2+4 agreement, where NATO stated they would not extend their push towards Russia. They lied. At least 4, maybe more countries are now under NATO east of the Elbe or the Oder rivers. And the BBC said Mr. Putin's focus on Ukraine felt obsessive, like a man who thinks about little else. That's a bit like your department, MI6, and other I5 Five Eyes groups as well then, Sarah, is it not? All about Russia. The boogeyman Russia. No, it's your ilk, Five Eyes, that are obsessive. Then they said, Putin rewrote Ukrainian history. Too funny. Your ilk rewrote his story every day, denying the 2+4 agreement, except I've seen the document. And the Russian Security Council meeting earlier was a piece of theatre, they said, in which everyone had their allotted role and their script. Just like the BBC then, Sarah, given scripts to read from MI5, MI6, that bears little resemblance to the true facts. And in stepped another agency puppet called Paul Adams to add to the theatre, history rewriting, predetermined narratives and lashings of fear to generate shekels for the warmongers. And he described Putin's speech as a fever dream. Mr. Putin is speaking from a very different place, he said. This is not just a different slant on history. At times, it felt like a parallel universe. Oh dear, a parallel universe. Well, Mr. Adams, that is why we call you the Portal People. News from another world, devoid of facts, bland statements with no proof, and an intelligence level of a pre-kindergarten child. The media cry Putin annexed the eastern part of Ukraine and the Crimea. But NATO, with its 30 countries attached to them, have annexed the whole of Europe. And nobody says anything. Now, Putin asked, why did NATO make an enemy of Russia? And Adams said, the Western alliance certainly never set out to do any such thing. Your Western alliance has been doing it since the 1950s. In fact, you could go back to the 1910s. And just like the Americans, the Russians are coming. 60 years later, they never arrived. But it's idiots like this Adams and Rainsford, like a modern day Punch and Judy show, that are sent out to talk shite for the public to repeat and then generate fear. Why can't the media do pieces on peace or reconciliation? Why? Because that doesn't pay the war machine, does it? As for MI, that now stands for Missing Intelligence. A newly discovered document from March 1991 shows the US, UK, French and German officials discussing a pledge made to Moscow that NATO would not expand to Poland and beyond. Well, they already have. And its publication by the German magazine Der Spiegel on Friday comes as expansion of the US-led bloc has led to a military standoff in Eastern Europe. Now, the minutes of a March 6, 1991 meeting in Bonn between political directors of the foreign ministries of the US, UK, France and Germany contain multiple references to 2+4 talks on German unification in which the Western officials made it clear to the Soviet Union that NATO would not push into territory east of Germany. They lied. And it said, we made it clear to the Soviet Union in the 2+4 talks, as well as in other negotiations, that we do not intend to benefit from the withdrawal of Soviet troops from Eastern Europe. And the document quotes US Assistant Secretary of State for Europe and Canada, Raymond Seitz. NATO should not expand to the east, either officially or unofficially, Seitz added. That's all very well, but it's not what happened, is it? It should be noted that Seitz is born too, and also a puppet of Henry Kissinger. And a British representative also mentions the existence of a general agreement that membership of NATO for Eastern European countries is unacceptable. We had made it clear during the 2+4 negotiations that we would not extend NATO beyond the Elbe. And that was the West German diplomat Jürgen Hürbog. And we could not therefore offer Poland and other memberships in NATO. Well, they already have. Yet in a memo after that, they stated this: we might, however, consider referring to our interest in these countries in future NATO declarations. And further steps could be taken in the CSCE and through bilateral agreements. So who or what is the CSCE? Well, it was the Commission on Security and Cooperation in Europe, also known as the US Helsinki Commission, and is an independent US government agency that was created by Congress in 1975 to monitor and encourage compliance with the Helsinki Final Act and other Organisation for Security and Cooperation in Europe commitments. Compliance? That is not a commission then, is it? It is a Gestapo organisation. And the minutes later clarified he was referring to the Oder River, the boundary between East Germany and Poland. Typical that. When they get called out, they just change the narrative or avow and then cite mistranslation, because originally it was to go to no further than the Elbe River, not the Oder River. Now, Hürbog further noted that West German Chancellor Helmut Kohl and Foreign Minister Hans-Dietrich Genscher had agreed with this position as well. Now, the document was found in the UK National Archives by Joshua Schifrinson, who is a political science professor at Boston University in the US, and it had been marked secret, but was declassified at some point. Now, Schifrinson tweeted on Friday that he was honoured to work with Der Spiegel on the document, showing that Western diplomats believed they had indeed made a NATO non-enlargement pledge. Now, senior policymakers deny it. A non-expansion pledge was offered. The classic Egyptian river stance. When confronted over falsehoods, they go in denial. And this new document shows otherwise, and Schifrinson said in a follow-up tweet, noting that beyond the Elbe or Oder, by any standard, includes Eastern European countries to which NATO started expanding just 8 years later. And during a major press conference in December 2021, Putin said that the West had promised the Soviet Union NATO would not expand a single inch to the east, but brazenly deceived and cheated Moscow to do just that. Now, responding to these comments, NATO Secretary and Hebrew Anunnaki General Jens Stoltenberg said the alliance has never promised not to expand. And in an interview with Der Spiegel later, Stoltenberg repeated that there's never been such a promise, there has never been such a behind-the-scenes deal, it is simply not true. But the document proves otherwise. Well, NATO admitted Poland, Hungary and Czechia in March 1999, just before launching an air war against Yugoslavia, without the permission of the UN Security Council. And this put NATO then directly on the Russian border. That's what we're dealing with this week. And the enclave of Kaliningrad for the first time ever. Now, the next round of expansion in 2004 included the former Soviet republics of Estonia, Latvia and Lithuania, placing NATO's eastern frontier just 84 miles from St. Petersburg. And then in a series of security proposals made public in December, Russia demanded NATO publicly renounce expansion of the former Soviet republics of Ukraine and Georgia and withdraw US forces to the 1997 boundaries of the bloc, amongst other things. Now, the US and NATO have rejected this, arguing the alliance's open door membership policy is a fundamental principle for them. And former German defense official Willy Wimmer also said he personally witnessed the West vowing not to expand eastward in an RT interview this week. And the veteran politician who served as a parliamentary secretary to Germany's defense minister between 1985 and 1992 said that he personally witnessed this promise. And when he sent Chancellor Helmut Kohl the statement on the Bundeswehr in NATO and NATO in Europe, which was completely incorporated into the treaties of the reunification. Now, Berlin's decision at that time not to station NATO troops on the territory of the former East Germany and to stop NATO near the Oder was part of this promise. And he explained why the West quickly changed course. Wimmer believes that the promises made by the Western leaders in the early 1990s were eventually dashed by the US ambitions formulated in the infamous 1992 Wolfowitz Doctrine, just a year later. And that was drafted by Paul Wolfowitz and Scooter Libby. Wolfowitz, born in New York and born to Jewish parents. Libby, born in Connecticut and born to Jewish parents. And no surprise there then. Now, the doctrine was in fact a defense planning guidance for the 1994-99 fiscal years that was leaked to the New York Times at that time and sparked a wave of criticism even in the US itself. And the document outlined the policy of unilateralism and preemptive military actions designed to suppress potential threats and prevent any supposedly authoritarian states from becoming superpowers. Now, the official text of the guidance was then changed following the uproar, but many tenets of the doctrine still found their way into the former US President George W. Bush's foreign policy. He didn't have a foreign policy. It was all ran by Dick Cheney and other psychopaths. Now, since that time, the US and its allies have been on the wrong track, as they have been virtually doing everything to create a fairly justified impression in Moscow that the Western nations seek to kick Russia out of Europe. That's what we're dealing with. And to then build a new wall, listen closely, a new wall between the Baltic and the Black Sea, and eventually to destroy Russia instead of cooperating with it. And that was according to the German official. It's yet more faction-based fighting. NATO is the Rothschild's private army. Trump went against NATO as he is Black Sun. And the Russian generals over there that rule Putin are also Black Sun. And perhaps now you'll understand more that countries in their game and world don't exist, just used as pawns at certain epochs of time whilst the warring off-world factions play their insidious games. Putin today said Russia was intervening as an act of self-defence, and that Thursday's attack this morning was partially intended to protect the newly recognised Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republic from continued harassment by Ukrainian forces. But they're not Ukraine. The Ukrainian forces are backed by NATO, Israel and CIA mercenaries that have been shelling Donetsk and Luhansk since the war in 2014, and they've killed 15,000 Ukrainians. They won't tell you that on Clown News Network or the BBC. NATO, Israel and CIA mercenaries have killed 15,000 Ukrainians since 2014. Now, Putin said Russia did not want to occupy Ukraine. He said we would demilitarize it and then denazify it. Oops. But what is interesting, given a recent piece we did on Odessa, home of the Sarmatians, that region was attacked this morning. Funny that. But did you know that Ukraine has not registered its borders since the 1991 agreement? Why is that significant? But what was interesting was a symbol on the back of a military truck that was marked with the letter Z. Zedo Masons or Zionist? Time will tell. A French modelling agent and close associate of the late, not quite, US financier and sex offender Jeffrey Epstein has been found dead in his prison cell in Paris. What a surprise that is, not. Jean-Luc Brunel was found hanged in his cell in La Santé prison on Saturday, according to prosecutors, and the 76-year-old had been held for over a year as he was investigated on suspicion of the rape of minors and trafficking of minors for sexual exploitation. Now, Brunel predictably had denied any wrongdoing. Now, Brunel's lawyers said he had been crushed by the allegations and blamed a media judicial system. Now, Brunel co-founded French modelling agency Karen Models in 1977 and MC2 Model Management in the US with funding from Jeffrey Epstein. Meanwhile, the children's sellout girl, Geoffrey, said she had to sleep with him as well. It's not been a good week for the Anunnaki puppet who runs Non-Factbook. Meta Platforms Inc. has tumbled out of the world's top 10 largest companies by market value that was hammered by its worst monthly stock decline ever. And once the world's sixth largest company with a valuation in excess of $1 trillion, the Facebook parent closed on Thursday with a value of $565 billion, placing it in 11th place behind Tencent Holdings. Message to Mr. Zuckerberg with a silent F Your Metatron game and program is collapsing. And then a high-level Facebook staffer was caught soliciting a minor for sex during an amateur undercover sting operation in Columbus, Ohio. And a video of the encounter was posted on the YouTube channel with a Silent J. Predator catches in the Indianapolis on February the 16th. Jaron Andrew Miles, 35, of Palm Springs, California, allegedly sent sexually explicit texts to a 13-year-old boy and made plans for the boy to meet him at La Meridian Columbus Hotel. People need to check that hotel out, as it may be another of the designated centres. And remember, many of the hotels and chains are CIA fronts. Long Island Democrat Kathleen Rice of New York's 4th Congressional District announced on Tuesday that she will retire, becoming the 30th House Democrat to announce they will leave the House this election cycle. Oops. The demons are leaving in their droves, it seems. California State University Chancellor Joseph Castro has also resigned, effective immediately. The California State Board of Trustees announced in a press release. And the announcement comes 2 weeks, after an investigation revealed he mishandled years of sexual harassment, bullying, and retaliation complaints against a senior administrator while he was the president there in Fresno. Now, the investigation sparked immediate and widespread outcry from students, faculty, staff, lawmakers, and others, many of whom called for Castro to resign or an independent investigation into his handling of the matter. And so I guess Castro got castrated. But isn't it strange how famous or infamous names crops up in prominent positions, is it not? With the US having spent years plotting against one Castro, now we have had an appointee of the same name and possibly a crime minister on its borders also of the same Castro name. We're going back to Canada. Canadian service members taking part or voicing support for the trucker protests against vaccine mandates are being investigated, according to a Canadian news outlet. And the National Post reported this week that 9 members of Canada's military have been identified as either allegedly taking part in the protests or voicing support on social media, and that military police have launched 2 investigations. Now, the Canadian National Defence spokesman Dan LeBouthillier told the outlet that Canadian troops are expected to adhere to rules and established codes of conduct. And he told the Post those who disregard these principles not only demonstrate an extreme lack of understanding of the military profession, they undermine the very foundation of the Canadian Armed Forces. And any member of the armed forces who brings discredit to the CAF through either conduct or performance deficiencies, be it through actions or words, will be held accountable. Including consequences could include discharge from the military. But what about the oath to serve the Canadian people? These military jackasses need to be reminded just who pays their wages. The likes of the truckers are who pay their wages, and yet they wish to crush them like bugs. Now, the Post reported that some of those being investigated are already in the process of leaving the Canadian forces since they have refused a requirement to be vaccinated. And those reportedly being investigated, including troops appearing in uniform on videos that was posted to social media expressing support for the protests led by the truckers and speaking out against Canadian politicians. Now, two serving members of the Canadian military's elite counter-terrorism unit are also under investigation for allegedly taking part in protests in downtown Ottawa. And retired and serving Canadian Forces personnel were the ones who reportedly sounded the alarm, and another reservist is under investigation for allegedly donating for the truckers protesting. Really? But this has been part of an ongoing crackdown against Canadian military members who allegedly supported the truckers' protest, and it resembles a US military crackdown against so-called extremists who took part in or supported the January 6th, 2021 protests in Washington. And after the January 6th protest, Defence Secretary Lloyd Austin launched an effort to root out extremists from the US military and ordered a force-wide stand-down where commanders spoke to troops about extremism. Protesting is extremism now. Extremism, like conspiracy theorist, like critical thinker, like asking questions you are entitled to ask, is now deemed under the terrorism banner. This is how your government and military really is. We are seeing their real faces now, not the masks of illusion. The real faces, the ones who are not interested in we the people at all. Now, Austin also stood up the Countering Extremism Working Group to examine extremism in the military. And the group found after about a year of study that there were fewer than 100 service members who engaged in extremist activities. A whole year investigating to find less than 100 people to target? Really? This is where our money is going. To cover up their lie. Now, the US military is also cracking down on service members who are refusing to comply with the Biden administration's vaccine mandate. And so far, more than 1,000 service members have been discharged for not complying. And the Post reported that in May 2021, a Canadian Forces member who called on fellow service members to not assist with distributing vaccines was charged with an offence related to mutiny. And that was the first time the Canadian military had used such a charge. Mutiny for not enforcing or speaking of not pushing poisons? Oh my. In reality, everyone is now deemed a criminal under emergency powers, when the real criminals are the ones making them, and also the ones enforcing them. Right, we'll get into some medical related news. Not as much this week. The show's kind of stacked at the back end this week, as it normally is. But with the heat and analysis turned on the country who vaccinated their people the most, protests rising and people questioning their infection rates since the jabs, there's been a bit of a pullback from the fake country known as Israel. And the Israeli Prime Minister cited a drop in coronavirus infections as the reason to do away with restrictions. And he said they will soon end its COVID-19 green pass system. I wondered if highlighting the green program had an effect in that. More convergence. And they're doing away with the vaccine card as officials point to a significant decline in severe cases and an end to the Omicron surge. Now, he announced that move on Thursday, declaring that the wave of Omicron has broken and that there is now a sharp drop in the number of serious infections. The Omicron is broken. Is that significant? Maybe we'll find out soon. A board certified embalmer and funeral director, Richard Hirschman, has revealed that arteries and veins have been found filled with unnatural blood clot combinations with strange fibrous materials that are completely filling the vascular system, and that many of the victims reportedly died of heart attacks and strokes. And Mr. Hirschman reports that he found resistance when he tried to embalm these jabbed patients, and then found these strange materials and pulled them from the large vessels of the bodies. He also reported that he has gone from seeing 50% of his embalmed cases with these type of blockages rise to almost 80%. And that's yet more evidence these jabs are not what they say they are, and yet the masses still sit within the lie whilst the psychopaths pick them off. Now, China is said to have released a new hemorrhagic fever virus during the Olympics called Marburg, which is from Worms, Germany, as covered in the show on Tuesday. What a coincidence that is. And the viral fever are infectious diseases that can cause severe life-threatening illness. They can damage the walls of tiny blood vessels, making them leak, and can hamper the blood's ability to clot. And the resulting internal bleeding is usually not life-threatening, but the diseases can be. Is that a cover for the blood clots? Like Omicron was the cover for heart issues and other vaccine-related ailments? But bioweapons like COVID are not new. In 1951, insects were found in North Korea carrying cholera, smallpox, plague, meningitis. And that was, of course, the US Air Force's way of spreading their version of democracy. Also in 1951, the CIA of Switzerland poisoned a French town, Pont-Saint-Esprit, with LSD, you know, the red pill. And that caused many deaths. The Swiss Novartis is effective, it seems. Now, Novartis is the company that developed saccharin, and were also in receipt of large funds from the US, so-called health departments in 2009, which was 1 year before Project Lockstep. January 2009, the United States Department of Health and Human Services awarded Novartis a $486 million contract for the construction of the first US plant to produce cell-based influenza vaccines to be located in Holly Springs, North Carolina. North Carolina. Remember this piece from Exposé 7? The project, however, did not only take place in Wuhan's Biosafety Laboratory 4, but significantly also in the Maximum Biosafety Labs 3 of Chapel Hill of North Carolina University. Now, the stated goal of this program is the capability of producing 150 million doses of pandemic vaccines within 6 months of declaring a flu pandemic. Now, there were hundreds of bioweapon simulations were done in the 1950s and 1960s, even in the United States, 293 places in total, in particular San Francisco. The Swiss initiative with infected blankets is said to have led to many deaths of Native Americans also. And we'll have more on bioweapons later. But Dr. John Campbell reviews recent data that was released by the UK government in response to a Freedom of Information Act request. And they show that the number of deaths during 2020 in England and Wales, where COVID-19 was the sole cause of death, was 9,400. And of those, 7,851 were aged 65 and older, and the median age of death was 81 and a half years. Oops. And during the first quarter of 2021, there were 6,483 deaths where COVID was the sole cause of death, and again, with the vast majority, 4,923 occurring in seniors over 65. All of which confirms our very first expose show. Now, the total of 346 died from COVID-19 alone during the second quarter of 2021, and in the third quarter, the COVID death toll was 1,142. And he said, again, these are people with no underlying conditions that might have caused their death. It was the jabs. So in all, for the 21 months covering January 2020 through September 2021, the total COVID-19 death toll in England and Wales was 17,371, which is a far cry from what's been reported. And as of the end of September 21, the UK government reported there were 137,133 deaths within 28 days of a positive test, and these deaths were therefore all counted as COVID deaths. Now, in January this year, at a press conference, the UK Health Secretary Sajid Javid admitted that the daily government figures are unreliable. Why? Because they're trying to backtrack on the figures. The increase in deaths, you see, because even the bots might begin to put two and two together, unless they went to Johns Hopkins math lessons. As people have been and continue to die from conditions unrelated to COVID-19, but are included in the count due to a positive test. And he also admitted that about 40% of patients presently counted as hospitalized COVID patients were not admitted due to COVID symptoms. So what you're seeing here is where they needed to inflate it for people to get the jabs. Now people are going, well, we've had these jabs for best part of 18 months, courtesy of Trump and others. And why aren't the deaths and injuries going down? So they are flip-flopping with the figures backwards and forwards. Now, COVID has primarily killed those who are close to death anyway, he said, most of which can be attributed to flu. You know, the magic flu disappearance. And Campbell also points out that of the 17,371 people who had COVID-19 as the sole cause of death, 13,597 were 65 or older. And the average age of death in the UK from COVID in 2021 was 82.5 years. And when you compare that to the projected life expectancy in the UK, which is 79 for men and 82.9 for women, we die 4 years earlier because of yakking in our ears for so long. And Campbell then goes on to review data on excess deaths from cancer, which is now the byproduct of the jabs. And estimates suggest there have been an extra 50,000 cancer deaths over the past 18 months, deaths that normally would not have occurred. And there you have it, all in a nutshell, as the pullback from the fake COVID scam gathers pace. And what was quite an extraordinary interview, Macrosoft in the head, Bill Gates, said that the COVID-19 Omicron variant had outpaced world vaccine drives in spreading immunity. Oops. And he's urging health officials around the globe to respond more quickly to the next pandemic. Sadly, he said, the virus itself, particularly the variant called Omicron, is a type of vaccine. Hey? That is, it creates both B cell and T cell immunity, and it's done a better job of getting out to the world population than we have with the vaccines, he said. Oops. And due to a larger amount of infection exposure in certain regions, the risk of serious illness from COVID-19 has been dramatically reduced. Ouroboros programs running again then, one counteracting the other.
You suck, you jackass.
Gates continued, also noting that severe symptoms are mainly associated with being elderly and having obesity and or diabetes. What an admission that is. And it's almost an admittance of the whole program has failed, except for the shekel makers. But as typically goes forward with these weak, childlike and pathetic clowns, they pick up their ball and then they seek to get revenge. And he didn't disappoint. Because Gates then spoke with confidence in predicting a new major health crisis on the horizon, telling the panel we'll have another pandemic, though said it will be a different pathogen next time. The prophet Bill Gates. In January 2019, the World Horror Organization defined the growing number of vaccine critics as one of the 10 greatest threats to global health. And since the unprecedented corona vaccination fiasco, the number of vaccine refusers has really multiplied. So, they have created a new definition for people who exercise their free will, right, and choice over their own body as a threat to global health. Well, actually, they have not put that into the real context, and I will correct it. It means the refusers are a threat to the globalists' health and bank balance. There, corrected. And the journalist John O'Sullivan warned that the massive PCR testing campaign could be a World Horror Organization vaccination program in disguise. Yes, it is. And he was referring to a new technology developed at Johns Hopkins University that had developed tiny star-shaped micro devices called Theragrippers that attach to the intestinal mucosa and can deliver drugs into the body. The Johns Hopkins School of Faulty Math rears its head again. And these devices are made of a metal and a thin film that changes shape and are as small as a dust particle. And according to Johns Hopkins University, Theragrippers are administered with a cotton swab, just like the PCR tests, which we warned of back in 2020. Now, in October 2020, Johns Hopkins University research team published positive results from an animal study confirming that the new technology works flawlessly. And then suddenly, within 6 months, they launched it. Now, the person who invented the PCR test said it was not designed for that use, and subsequently he died just after that. But Johns Hopkins took it up and used it for evil purposes. And perhaps PCR means placing COVID reactions. The investigative outlet Project Veritas has released footage of a Food and Drug Administration executive claiming that annual COVID-19 vaccine jabs are on the way, even for children under 5. Even toddlers will eventually be required to get annual COVID-19 jabs, the FDA official said in an undercover clip. Now, Christopher Cole, who's an executive officer with the FDA and head of the agency's countermeasures initiatives, told a Project Veritas reporter he is involved in the approval process for the various COVID vaccines. Now, Cole has claimed more jabs are in the pipeline for everyone and acknowledged the money incentives for companies like Pfizer to promote more vaccination. He said it will be a recurring fountain of revenue. It might not be that much initially, but it will be recurring. Again, we put that in, I think, Exposé 2 or 3. And he said if they can get every person required at an annual vaccine, that is a recurring return of money going into their company. And this is what the initial investment brought. Lots of people invested in the hope of a large return. And remember the Congress report we did, whereby dozens of Congress people were invested in the pharma giants that were delivering the vaccines. That is why they're pushing. And remember, there was a minimum investment of upwards of $2 million. And so these jabs had to be delivered or the shareholders would go nuts. That's how it works. But at another point in the footage, the FDA official also admitted that the very companies the FDA regulates dump almost $1 billion a year into its budget. And so the regulator has become quite literally the sales division of Big Pharma. Like I've said, the FDA and the CDC are private companies, not governing bodies. Although clearly with their monetary power, they can buy off governments and have done. And Cole said even toddlers would be included in this annual shot requirement, although he conceded that there hasn't been enough testing on the long-term effects of the vaccines on various groups, including young children and pregnant women. And when asked how he knew such a mandate could be coming, he said, "Just from everything I've heard, the FDA are not going to approve it." Well, currently they haven't. But he said the annual jab would be just like the flu shot and required as the effectiveness of vaccines wanes. Just like a flu shot? With added genetic-based interference modules designed initially to make money, reduce the population as there is not enough cash flow globally, and then manipulate each person via the technology to their whims. That type of flu shot. But the FDA released a statement saying Cole does not work on vaccine matters and does not represent the views of the FDA. Now, Biden has not endorsed an annual vaccine jab yet, but Cole said the president wants to inoculate as many people as possible. And Biden's health officials have also floated the idea of regular jabs. And the White House non-health advisor, Dr. I Don't Give a Fauci, has been open in recent talks to the idea of booster shots being needed regularly, though he has not endorsed annual shots for everyone. And he says if you are a normal, healthy 30-year-old person with no underlying conditions, you might need a booster only every 4 or 5 years. It will depend on who you are, he said. It will depend on who you are. Oh my. It's the DNA targeting certain races or people. Proof. Right there. This president gets it. Nayib Bukele. Who's the president of El Salvador. And he said on Sunday, the crisis in Ukraine is just a distraction, while the real war of interest to free people around the world is being fought over authoritarian coronavirus mandates in Europe, Canada, and the United States. The real war is not Ukraine, he said. It's in Canada, Australia, France, Brussels, England, Germany, and Italy. They just want you to look the other way, he said. This is a report that came in. The convoy leaders in Canada, Dicta and Pollock, were not arrested and disappeared. Funny, right? Chris Barber was arrested, let go one day later, and has basically said he wants nothing more to do with this. So it appears the barber got a cut. Lish, I can't remember her first name, and the ex-RCMP bodyguard, both arrested in fake-looking arrests, charged with mischief or no charge, were released and are lying low. None of those so-called leaders stood in the front line with the people as the police attacked them, and they hid their badges as they are not local cops per se. Like I said, perhaps it's the UN, like what happened in Australia. And they're now tracking people down, freezing bank accounts and selling towed trucks. So anyone who had a truck in Ottawa faces financial ruin, unemployment and the loss of their trucks. They're even freezing bank accounts of people who donated to GoFundMe. And a local woman in BC, single mum, donated $50, has had her accounts frozen. Well, let's have a look at the wordplay, shall we? We know they love to play that way. The barber got a cut. No, the people got cut. Lish is an archaic English word for corpse. The gate at the lowest end of the cemetery where the coffin and the funerary procession usually entered was commonly referred to as the Lish Gate. Of course, the gate brings up many connotations. Watergate brought in new stringent measures against the people. And lishes are sometimes depicted using a magical device called a phylactery, from a classic Greek word meaning amulet, to anchor their souls to the physical world so that if their body is destroyed, they can rise again over and over. Ponder on that on a wider scale. Phylactery means two small square leather boxes containing slips inscribed with scriptural passages and traditionally worn on the left arm and on the head by observant Jewish men and especially adherents of Orthodox Judaism. A lish is also a spellcaster who seeks to defy death by magical means, and dicta means poet. I guess he wrote the script, and all the world's a stage. Now, many are wondering, will the UN come into America? Well, some of them are already here. But a full scale? That would require extraordinary measures at this point, and I'm not sure they can make that call. If they did, it would be an act of final desperation. The UK, US and Canada, same problem. The crown equals cron equals Cronus. The cron on the US, where they think they will call time on us. Think again. TikTok. Right. Three seemingly not connected objects or items all wrapped up into one or several pieces now. And I'm about to ruin a few more things. the things that make you go, with the chocolate fetish day of St. Valentine's just passed, but where did it originate from? Well, the plant was only found in the region of the Aztec, Olmec and Mayans regions, but expanded following the Sephardic invasion known as the Spanish Conquistadors. And the desire for chocolate created a thriving slave market, as between the early 17th and late 19th centuries, the laborious and slow processing of the cacao bean was only manual. Now, cacao plantations spread as the English, Dutch and French colonized and planted. And with the depletion of Mesoamerican workers, largely to disease, they were slaughtered by the Sephardics. The cocoa beans production was often the work of poor wage labourers and also enslaved Africans. And roughly two-thirds of the world's cocoa is produced in West Africa, with Ivory Coast being the largest source, producing a total crop of 1.5 million tonnes. Now, Ghana, Nigeria and Cameroon are other West African countries that are among the top five cocoa producing countries in the world. But only 3-4% of cocoa futures contracts that are traded in the cocoa markets ever end up in the physical delivery of cocoa. And every year, 7-9 times more cocoa is bought and sold on the exchange than actually exists. Just like the silver and gold contracts then. And it goes from the promise to pay to the promise to mine or harvest. But then you find out that the chocolate-making plant cacao was introduced to the people by Quetzalcoatl, known as the feathered serpent. Oops. I guess I've just ruined something else. And the fact it was the gods that introduced wheat, wine and alcohol, none of which have been found to have been overly beneficial to us, and the original chocolate drink was fermented, is suggestive those plants were to be used for a negative purpose. And as for the off-world fermentation program, review the Humanity Unplugged series as it goes into deeper details. And from the feathered serpent, we go to a descendant of them for more dot connecting. A small bird of prey that is native to Mexico and Central America is making headlines after its apparent decision to spend the winter in Texas. The now famous bat falcon was spotted for the first time in the Santa Ana National Wildlife Refuge in Alamo around Thanksgiving. And according to the US Fish and Wildlife Service, this is the first recorded time that a bat falcon has ever been seen in the US. A bird of prey? Alamo? A bat falcon? The bat connotation, given the COVID links, is the first alarm or concern to that story. But here is a detailed next part that was written before this piece came in, funny enough. More convergence, it seems. So Quetzalcoatl gave the people chocolate. A member posted something on the Spreaker chat a few weeks ago that got me pondering deeper again. And it was related to birds of prey, which are actually my favourite birds, but they have been corrupted. Or maybe they haven't and were always part of them. Now, the peregrine falcon is symbolic as Horus. And the falcon is known for being watchful, hence the term watches you like a hawk, just like the all-seeing eye. Bird of prey, like praying to worship, is being preyed upon. And perhaps these birds of prey are also a part of the system, all watching like a hawk. Are the birds of prey a link metaphorically or symbolically back to the avian group of Thoth, Set and Horus? And given the eagle plays a dominant role in control circles, their symbolism of the eagle is displayed everywhere. The American eagle, the German eagle, and many other countries associated with the eagle, none more so than the SS, known as the Black Eagle. And these birds are also known as raptors. And yet there is a race, of bipedal beings called raptors as well, some of whom I'm led to believe reside in Colorado. And they say that all birds derived from dinosaurs, hence they are in part reptile, which accounts for the raptor name, the flying reptile or serpent. But there was another flying entity that is still worshipped today in Mexico and some other Central American places, the flying serpent known as Quetzalcoatl, which leads us to Teotihuacan. Now, Teotihuacan, the term has been stated as the birthplace of the gods, or the place where the gods were born. No, they weren't. They were invaders. And although the National Institute of Anthropology and History states that, the city appears to have actually been named Teotihuacan, meant City of the Sun, rather than the City of the Gods, as the current name suggests. The classic name switch operating again, and perhaps we'll find out why. Now, the site is best known for the construction of some of the most well-known sites of Teotihuacan, the Pyramids of the Sun and Moon. And so that's the second reference to the sun, and perhaps that's indicative. Now, in the early history of Teotihuacan, is said to be quite mysterious, and the origin of its founders is uncertain, and it predates the Aztec and the Toltecs by 1,000 years. Now, whatever they say, the origin is uncertain. It means it didn't come from this planet. Etymology has a lot of origin uncertain in the descriptions. Now you know why. But in 378, a group of people from Teotihuacan organized a coup d'etat in Tikal, Guatemala. But this was not the state. It was a group of the feathered serpent people who were thrown out from the city. And the feathered serpent pyramid was burnt, all the sculptures were torn from the temple, and another platform was built to efface the facade. Now, the two constructions recorded sunrises and sunsets on particular dates, allowing the use of an observational calendar. And the orientation of the Sun Pyramid was intended to record the sunrises on February the 11th and October the 29th, and sunsets on April 30th and August 13th. Now, the interval from February 11 and October 29, as well as from August 13 to April 30, is exactly 260 days. Pecked cross circles throughout the city and in the surrounding regions served as a way to design the urban grid and as a way to read their 260-day calendar. 260-day calendar? 13 months of 20 days? Now, where have we heard that before? And they were also known for ritual sacrifices on humans and even have a place called the Avenue of the Dead. And evidence of a collective burial were found of those sacrificed humans as part of the rites of consecration for the Pyramid of the Feathered Serpent. So, for giving the people chocolate, he sacrificed us. And in this case, all buried bodies had their hands tied behind their backs with the necklaces made of pieces that simulate human jaws, but other subjects buried wore necklaces with actual human jaws. And also mentioned, given our reference to all things green last week, was a mural called the Green Bird Procession in the Temple of the Feathered Serpents. But upon my inspection of several pictures and video of the Sun Temple and the carvings or statues of the Feathered Serpent, I came to a startling conclusion. And science researchers and archaeologists all reference this as a depiction of a feathered serpent. But the carvings suggest otherwise. Because the feathers around the head don't, to me at least, appear to be feathers at all. And it is actually the halo of the sun. And given it's called the Temple of the Sun, that makes more sense. And this brings up intriguing possibilities. Is Quetzalcoatl either Horus, Thoth, or Ra? Ra was known as the fake solar god, after all. Enjoy your chocolates. Yet another convergence of past shows, and indeed a future show, is contained within this piece. As a new study uses pollen data to evaluate the mortality caused by the medieval plague at a regional scale across Europe, and results show that the impacts of the Black Death, Black Sun Death, varied substantially from region to region and demonstrate the importance of cross-disciplinary approaches for understanding past and present pandemics. Now, the Black Death, which plagued Europe, West Asia and North Africa from 1347 through 1352, is the most infamous pandemic in history. And historians have estimated that up to 50% of Europe's population died during the pandemic and credit the Black Death with transforming religious and political structures. Well, I never. Even precipitating major cultural and economic transformations such as the Renaissance. well, I never again. Indeed it did. The magic Black Death, like the magic COVID death, wrought much changes, none of which were beneficial to we the people. Now, although ancient DNA research has identified Yersinia pestis as the Black Death's causative agent and even traced its evolution across millennia, data on the plague's demographic impacts is still underexplored and little understood. I wonder why. Because it will be found to have originated in Egypt, transported via boat from what is now Israel into the European regions they wished to devastate. That's what they won't tell you. But now a new study demonstrates that the Black Death's mortality in Europe was not as universal or as widespread as long thought. And an international team of researchers led by the Paleo Science and History Group at the Max Planck Institute for the Science of Human History has analysed pollen samples from 261 sites in 19 modern-day European countries to then determine how landscapes and agricultural activity had changed between 1250 and 1450, which was roughly 100 years before to 100 years after the pandemic. And their analysis supports the devastation experienced by some European regions, but it also shows that the Black Death did not impact all regions equally. I wonder why. And the results show that the Black Death's mortality varied widely, with some areas suffering the devastation the pandemic has become known for and others experiencing a much lighter touch. But there were sharp agricultural declines in Scandinavia, France, southwestern Germany, Greece and central Italy support the high mortality rates attested to in the medieval sources. While many regions, including much of central and eastern Europe and parts of western Europe, including Ireland and Iberia, Sephardics, show evidence for continuity or uninterrupted growth. And the significant variability in mortality that the BDP approach identifies remains to be unexplained, or remains to be explained, they said. But local cultural, demographic, economic, environmental and societal contexts would have influenced Yersinia pestis prevalence, morbidity and also mortality, says Alicia Massai from the Max Planck Institute in Rome. Of course, Max Planck also appeared in Exposé 7, who were warning about DARPA's program, which uses insects as the vehicle for horizontal environmental genetic alteration agents. Did you connect the dots to that? Think locusts, because locusts have formed plagues since prehistory. The ancient Egyptians carved them on their tombs, and the insects are mentioned in the Iliad, the Mahabharata, and also the Bible. Well, I never. Egyptians, Jews, India. Is that a connection? But I'll tell you how it is explained. Certain Jews were in certain places that had full immunity from such plagues. As the bubonic plagues of the 6th and 7th century swept across the whole of Europe, Africa and Asia, the natural immunity of the Sarmatians with double CCR5 receptor deformities put the Sarmatian exiles in Samara in a unique position. They were simply immune to the plague, smallpox, influenza, as they are immune to HIV today. All of which reveals it is they who have plagued, pardon the pun, humanity since day one. But what are the coincidences that all the plagues and diseases don't affect one group of people, without the rest of humanity questioning as to whether it is they who created the plagues? Is it a coincidence that Russia just attacked what is now known as Odessa, the base for the Sarmatians? Palynology, or the study of fossil plant spores and pollen, is a powerful tool for uncovering the demographic impacts of the Black Death. And this is because human pressures on the landscape in pre-industrial times, such as farming or clearing native plants for building, were heavily dependent on the availability of rural workers. And so using a new approach called Big Data Paleoecology, the researchers analysed 1,634 pollen samples from sites all over Europe to see which plants were growing in which quantities, and thereby determine whether agricultural activities in the region continued or halted, or if wild plants regrew while human pressure is reduced. Why did he mention agriculture? What destroys agriculture? Locusts. Now, one reason these results come as a surprise is that many of the quantitative sources that have been used to construct Black Death case studies come from urban areas, which, despite their ability to collect information and keep records, were also characterised by crowding and poor sanitation. The crowding came after the influx of the diaspora group, who were not known for cleanliness. Why? Because they were given immunity to such diseases and uncleanliness can bring, and overcrowding just made things worse for the locals. Less food, less clean water, less sanitation all contributed to the village communities being overrun by those nomadic peoples who knew full well what they were doing. It was all part of the plan. A plan not beneficial to us, just like trust the plan. And the object was to create disease after the Diasporans moved in, leading to much illness and death, and so they, being immune to it, were the only ones left, or the more dominant ones. Now, however, in the mid-14th century, upwards of 75% of the population of every European region was rural. And the current study shows that to understand the mortality of a particular region, data must be reconstructed from local sources, including BDP, as a method for measuring the change in the cultural landscapes. And there is no single model of the pandemic or plague outbreak that can be applied to any place at any time, regardless of the context, according to Adam Izdebski, who is the leader of the Paleo Science and History Group. And he said, pandemics are complex phenomena that have regional, local histories We have seen this with the COVID-19. Now we have shown it for the Black Death. Indeed. And at which point will these academics learn to put two and two together and grow a set and call it out properly? And the differences in the Black Death's mortality across Europe demonstrates that the plague was a dynamic disease with cultural, ecological, economic and climatic factors mediating its dissemination and also its impact. Now, moving forward, the researchers hope that more studies will use paleoecological data to understand how these variables interact that shape past and present pandemics. I got pondering at this point. Oh. And you know what happens next. A sort of pattern, which is essentially a loop, only this time for around 700 years. The bubonic plague was around 650. 700 years later came the Black Death in the middle 1300s, and so 700 years later we get the COVID plague or pandemic. Enjoy your chocolates. Right, some other pieces I would like to cover, including one I pulled back from 2019. See how relevant it is near 3 years later. But new maps through a study by geologists with the Washington Geological Survey Division of Washington Department of Natural Resources shows that a 9.0 magnitude earthquake could be devastating to the state's coastlines and roadways, including along the entirety of the Olympic Peninsula. Why is that significant? Because that is the second news report warning or alerting of a major earthquake in that region in the past month. Is that another one of the "we are telling you what we are going to do" episodes? No fear, just manifest something different. The Poynter Institute, and most like myself, never heard of it, but it's a 501c3, and so what is its purpose to society? Fact checking for Facebook and others. What a noble effort they do for society, not. And so I thought I would do a fact check on them and see what it came up with. And I looked at their website to find evidence of them fact checking the mainstream media. None. Fact checking books allowed into schools. None. Fact-checking books in libraries. None again. And so they are a 501c3 for the sole purpose of stifling people's thinking and free will of thought processing. And this is a line from their website about donations, and only those over a significant amount is disclosed to the public. And they said, while all gifts, no matter the size, help us fulfill our mission, we consider contributions of $50,000 or more as significant funding sources that should be revealed to the public. So anyone paying $49,999 or below are deemed insignificant and can go under the radar. But this is the list of the $50,000 donors. Charles Koch Foundation. Stand Together Fellowships, also Charles Koch. Or is it Koch? Craig Newmark Philanthropies, Gannett Foundation, Jill Foundation, or Gill Foundation, Institute for War and Peace reporting in 20 countries. Yet there's no evidence of them fact-checking Five Eyes scripts for war or peace. John and James Knight Foundation, Lumina Foundation, John and Catherine MacArthur Foundation, Newton and Rochelle Becker Charitable Trust, the Rays Baseball Foundation, Robert McCormick Foundation, Tegner Foundation, and the Washington Post. Oops. The Washington Post. $50,000. How impartial is that? You know, the Washington Post, who occasionally put out decent reports when it's using it for faction fighting, but ignores the truth as its modus operandi. But just what a structure that they've put in place. All to keep the noisy rabble of truth quiet. With companies paying $50,000 a year. And whilst this is annoying, it shows they're panicking, which means they are the king of panic. Why? Well, remember a meme from the show a few years back and a new definition for panic? People are now in control. And this piece proves that. And they are desperately trying to fight back to stay relevant. But it mentioned our mission. Mission or miss ion. Ion is a negatively charged particle. Kind of fitting then. It is our mission to miss their negative charges and go positive protons. But mission is yet again another church term. Meant sending abroad as an agent. Originally of Jesuits. The Jesuits were agents. But perhaps the Sanskrit term is more fitting, to become hostile or quarrel. Mission, an organized effort for the spread of religion or for an enlightenment of a community since 1640s. Enlightenment, oh dear. Endarkenment, more like it. This defies belief, this piece. And it's yet another example of the offended by everything crew. And the things these people find to be offended by and then link it to a divisive program is mind-boggling. But Louisa Warwin, discovery of a figure skating at age 6, propelled her to an accomplished career, it is said, and she participated in competitions around the globe and has received numerous accolades, including a medal at the 2020 Reykjavik International Games. But in the midst of her success, the 28-year-old, who is also a violinist, continues to encounter a long-standing issue. Finding the right tights to match her skin tone. And Warren describes her experience on TikTok in November after not having access to tights while participating in a show in Birmingham, England. And in the video, Warwin is seen sitting on the floor, visibly upset over her tights that are multiple shades lighter than her skin tone. Now, the brown tights she bought did not fit within the competition's requirements to fit over the boot, leaving her only choice but to wear the only option available, a lighter coloured pair of tights, which she says left her uncomfortable. A 28-year-old crying about the colour of her tights. Pantyhose. Seriously, is she 4 or 5 years of age? Absolutely pathetic. And it shows us more of what I warned of some months back, of how they are now using sport to create and administer programs of division. And what this stupid puppet-based skater has just exhibited is actual racism against lighter coloured skin people, in effect, that somehow it offends her. And the great question is, why is she offended by people with lighter coloured skin? Because that, by definition, is racism. These people are beyond stupid, crying over the colour of a pair of tights. Dear me. Mind-boggling. But I guess more of the people are waking up to the fact that white people in general are being written out of any support structure, culture, history, television, sports and businesses, and some are fighting back. As a Russian citizen in Moscow has just launched a formal complaint against the American company Nike for its alleged racial discrimination against Russians. Now, of course, Nike is named after the goddess of victory, with a V. But talk about, the article said, talk about flipping the diversity script on the globalist American empire. As a resident of Moscow asked the investigative committee to check the American company Nike for racial discrimination against Russians. And the complainant named Yevgeny Smirnov found it offensive to see the almost complete absence of white models on Nike's Russian language site. And he said most all models representing the brand are either dark-skinned or representatives of the Mongoloid race, which is Asian. And Caucasians, who make up the vast majority of Russian citizens, are practically not reflected. Now, the company did not answer on what principles the models are chosen, after which the Moscovites turned to the UK. And the company's policy is to impose Western values and stereotypes that are alien to European culture in general and Slavic culture in particular, he said. Now, Nike refused to communicate not only with a dissatisfied consumer, but also with Russian journalists. And for 2 days, there was no answers to requests. Now, if the UK finds signs of violation of equality of rights and freedoms in the activities of the manufacturer, a criminal case will be opened under Article 136 of the Criminal Code of the Russian Federation. So the article said, does Smirnov's complaint have any legal merit, or is he just a clever troll? And a quick perusal of Nike's Russian website suggests he might just have a point, because out of Russia's 144 million people population, only 70,000 are black. But whatever comes of this complaint, it underscores the pathetic irony that an alleged foreign adversary seems to be taking bolder action against America woke poison than Americans' own alleged opposition party, the GOP. And the article said, and come to think of it, what is the deal with the bizarre anti-white discrimination in commercials these days? Yes, I've noticed that. And the deal is, they're trying to wipe white people off the map altogether. The evidence is overwhelming. American TV. It's Spot the White Man. Why does it have to go from one extreme to the other? Where's the balance? Well, there's never been any balance. All your famous film stars with the fake names turned out to all be Jewish. That's not representative either. And as I've said previously, multiculturalism, like political correctness agenda, is a direct attack on the white people of this world. Because there's no multiculturalism in non-white countries. None. It's only going one way. Which, when you go back to the From Russia With Love 1 and 2, it tells you why. Climate change. Not only are volcanoes melting the ice in Antarctica, previous studies now show that underwater volcanoes, not humans, are melting ice in the Arctic as well. And three new research studies confirm that geothermal heat flow, not man-made global warming, is the dominant cause of the West Antarctic ice sheet melting, according to geologist James Edward Cammy. Now, the West Antarctica's subglacial Marie Byrd bedrock mantle plume hotspot shows the West Antarctic ice sheet has been thinning from 1992 to 2017. Not no more, it's not. And one study entitled Evidence of an Active Volcano Heat Source Beneath the Pine Island Glacier proves that the Pine Island Glacier of West Antarctica is melting and retreating from geothermal heat from a currently active subglacial volcano. And again, not man-made global warming. And their findings of a substantial heat source beneath a major glacier highlights the need to understand subglacial volcanism, its interaction with the marine margins, and its potential role in the future stability of the WAIS, according to the researchers, West Antarctic Ice Sheet. And they also note that the volcanic activity could be increasing the rate of collapse of the Thwaites Glacier, which is adjacent to the Pine Island Glacier. Now, a different study entitled Bedrock in West Antarctica Rising at a Surprisingly Rapid Rate shows that the Marie Byrd Bedrock Mantle Plume Hotspot region is rising rapidly and forming an extensive high elevation dome. Rising out of the sea. And Camis contends that the high elevation rise rate of this plume region is the result of geothermal bottom melting of the ice column and upward bulging of the bedrock, not post-glacial rebound. And additional information concerning the geologically active Marie Byrd bedrock plume and the giant deep earth fault that fuels this plume and more than 100 subglacial volcanoes can be found. But in a third study entitled New Study Suggests Surprising Wrinkle in the History of the West Antarctic Ice Sheet proves that the West Antarctic ice sheet significantly melted and retreated 10,000 years ago and then quickly recovered to its full extent just after the flood. Now, remember I mentioned the poles shifting back onto its axis and the planet and land masses were going clockwise in a southwest pattern. And so Florida was getting closer to the current Texas region. and hot spots are rising because of the friction created by the movement. And does this article prove that some way? Well, yes, it does. Because the western portion is moving north, hence the warming, and the eastern part is going south and is more cooling. And then a report comes in this week to add to this. The magnetic pole has moved 5.25 miles in the past month. Climate change figures. Ooh, scary warming up. Blame humans, etc. In reality, what that all means is all countries must have 2% of their GDP stolen to promote fake science, none of which goes to science, only greed-based clowns to take over the world via the UN and NATO. Well, anyway, the temperature has risen a massive 0.3 centigrade since 1991. But a benefit of Johns Hopkins math, that's a zero with a tiny dot at the bottom and the number 3. Less than 1. And is dangerously close now to a negative temperature drop. But trust the science knows best, they say. Well, COVID has proven that fact wrong many times over, as science is now based solely on how much money you can make while imposing tyranny on the people. And I suspect, like medical, science will become a pariah profession in the near future, I suspect. But here is a common sense question. Science states it is the oceans being warmer that is creating more storms. Okay, explain this one then. If large portions of ice has melted and drifted into the oceans as they stated, that would make the oceans cooler and less warming and storms, would it not? Oops. Yet more convergence, as Nike has been covered a bit recently. And I'll add more to that as the boundaries of the latest event place, Ottawa. Did you know their state boundaries is shaped it like a V? Oops. The flag of Ottawa is shaped into a 6, and so becomes the all-seeing eye in the colour green, peeking out from the blue azurite. And as we have covered last week, there is no green and is essentially an overlay colour that does not exist. Which brings me back to my youth and a colour blindness test. And I could not see certain shades of green in certain light. And I always saw it as brown. And so they designated me as colourblind. And yet I could play snooker. Funny that. But as it turns out now, it appears I was correct. As there is no green, only brown. And so the dominant colour was always blue. Just like my favourite soccer team. And when you add the colour of yellow to blue, which comes from the sun, it makes the colour appear green. And the great question is, if green isn't real, is it a projection overlay colour in an almost holographic nature implemented by the fake gods and their Matrix games? As remember last week, I mentioned green was also considered to be the median colour between light and obscurity, just like the media's use of the green screen then. But what if the Matrix overlay is one giant green screen, and the media's version is as above, so below? Monsters, lizards, reptiles, the Matrix, all green. Just maybe that is indicative. Or is it a piss take on something much larger that predates all of this? SpaceX internet connectivity constellation Starlink, which started in May 2019, has started inviting interested fans to the Better Than Nothing beta test. And while the final version aims to offer gigabyte download speeds at low latency to anyone with a view of the sky, the beta is offering more like 50 to 150 megabits per second, hence the humble brag test name, Better Than Nothing. But the great question is, I thought that was what the 1 to 5G was supposed to do, and 6 will increase it. I guess not. Because oblivious to most people, the internet has not sped up noticeably at all. And this despite them installing cables instead of the phone dial-up. But what it did do, it sped up the data harvesting of the agencies and the energy harvester data mining for the Fresh Air Tokens scam. But this became interesting, where their Starlink's terms of service, which was spotted by a Twitter account, Whole Mars Blog, where it said, no Earth-based government has authority or sovereignty over Martian activities. Under Section 9 of the terms, SpaceX explains how services provided around the Earth or Moon will follow the law as governed by the state of California in the United States. That was in their terms of service. But the great question is, who made the state of California the governance of airspace around Earth or the Moon? Does anybody ask? Now, but for Mars, the story changes a bit. For services provided on Mars or in transit to Mars via Starship or other colonization spacecraft, the parties recognize Mars as a free planet and that no Earth-based government has authority or sovereignty over Martian activities. And accordingly, disputes will be settled through self-governing principles established in good faith at the time of the Martian settlement. Now, the comments highlight one of SpaceX's biggest ambitions for the coming decades, to send the first humans to Mars and ultimately establish a city by 2050, which is about 100 years after the first humans went to Mars, and many years earlier as slaves for the mining operation on this planet by the varying Anunnaki groups. Just saying. But to achieve that goal, the firm is developing the Starship, a fully reusable rocket measuring around 400 feet tall when paired with the booster. And SpaceX wants to send the first cargo ships to the Red Planet in the next few years. Yeah, right. I suspect they will receive the same welcoming committee that the Apollo program got, particularly Apollo 13, that was fired at for carrying nuclear weapons to detonate on the moon. And yes, I've seen that picture. a bit of confirmation from our intel piece on December 30th last year, which said this. Also, other work recently was undertaken that involved stopping certain satellites doing rogue-based interactions at key strategic locations around the world. And I said you may see evidence of that related to satellites in the mainstream media, and should they continue to play that game on us, the same outcomes to those satellites and locations will be administered. And then, lo and behold, up pops the agency clown, Michael Seller, and says that it was the deep state that took out Elon Musk's 40 satellites, leaving 1,700 still able to work. Just because Musk calls out one or two people we don't like does not make him one of us. Think faction fighting. We lead, they follow, and twist the narrative. Final piece before the music break. From time to time, I like to go back and revisit certain pieces that I've written and bring them from the past into the now so that it can improve our future. And with another must-listen-to show coming up next Tuesday that will expand the bigger picture and your understanding of it. Today I will replay a piece from October 17th, 2019 called What is Human? And so what is human? Our record outlines is not a too pretty picture, is it? In the fake book written by controlling elites, men, not God or source, it states, let us create man in our image. Now, I've gone on record to state that that book was written about the Anunnaki groups and their offspring. They all carried the mark of the Nephilim. From Melchizedek to Genghis Khan, Cohen, to the Indian gods to Noah, as did Noah's offspring Shem and Ham. Perhaps he became a burger. And all it was said, they had a coat of armour when born, described as scaly skin. And no, it wasn't eczema or psoriasis, it was reptile skin. And many have interpreted the term, let us create man in our image. But too few ask, who is us and what is our? I thought it was said, God made us. Are there more than one? And many took that statement as a sign that they made man literally. They didn't. They, the gods, the fake ones, set about turning man into their image via mind control and low vibrational frequency traits, divide and conquer, and hierarchy all came from them. Now they are gone, by and large, and can no longer interfere on the levels previously. But there will always be some who wish to continue that program. We have enough humans who are of psychotic as their leaders were. What are we going to do to create man in a new image and light? And I said, we have an opportunity to forge our own path for the first time in history without interference. And do we like our current image? Labelled as savages by some, labelled as low intelligence by others, is this what we wish to be labelled by? Or will the collective stand up and finally take some responsibility of the mess this world is in, come together and forge a better path? Whilst they created the image, like bots we followed it. When a little circumspect reflection of yourself and the world around you could have easily changed this abomination a long time ago. A very long time ago. And I said THI has been on a journey of correcting the past ills and exposing the hidden world too few could see and even less believed. And what made us different is we pointed the fingers not just at those who hurt, controlled or damaged us, but at the mirror and back towards us and what our role was in it. And you can't create solutions by only looking at half of the problem. And that is why this world is in a mess. Too few see the bigger picture. Too few realise there is a bigger picture. Never mind see it. Hello, Liam. And too few critical think or analyse. And the ones that do analyse largely do so for negative purposes. And too many are reminiscent of the children in kindergarten class listening to the teacher read a book to them, or worse, George Bush Jr. All just swallowed it up and regurgitated it ad nauseam. Only the few asked the questions of its validity or whether it was true or not. And adults are no different to those children. But the children had an excuse. They were learning the world and were relatively new to it. Adults don't have that excuse. They chose to be a bot, listen and repeat. That is not being human. That is a machine. And I mentioned back then, I was overall pleased at how many of you in the group have embraced the message and gone on to making better changes in your lives and those around you. It is arduous, I know. I know that more than you all, as truth comes at a very heavy cost to those delivering it on this planet. And the least anyone can do is support those who are. And yet we see several examples of those mired in their own shit, then projecting it onto others. Do we want a world that throws shit everywhere and creates a massive stink? Or do we take responsibility for ourselves and create a much cleaner world where the stink is in the minority and not the majority? And many of you have took up the mantle and changed yourselves, your outlook and your own image. And some have gone on to helping others do the same. And we mentioned how this group had taken many members off pharmaceutical drugs, other drugs, illegal or otherwise, alcohol abuse, victimhood programs, religious programs, cycle of abuse programs, and how we'd made giant strides in that arena. That has gone on another level since. And many have written to me and said their whole lives have changed since being in THI. People from all over the world who have never met me, all stating the show turned their life around. And yet we have all been targeted for doing so. Why is that? Is that being human? But they target us not because we are weak, but because you are strong. Never forget that. They target you not because you have external strength, but inner strength. Never forget that. They target you not because you are stupid, but because you have more intelligence than them. Never forget that. They target you not because you don't care, but because you do. Never forget that. They target you not because you have a low vibration, but a higher vibration. And never forget that. Remember where you were head and heart wise before THI, and see and feel your own development. No low vibrational person can take that away from you. Never forget that either. I brought forward a vision of how to be, but you delivered it, and the low vibrationals can't take that away from you either. They are lost and stuck in their own world, and their program has run out, and they have no idea what to do, so they revert back to type of those who created the image for them. Now, the hue in human has three meanings. Higher universal man is the first one. The Sumerian Anunnaki term, hue, means serpent. In Sanskrit, it means dragon. Which is it to be, humanity? Dragon man? Serpent man, worshipped by the Catholic Church, or the higher universal man? The choice now rests solely in all of your hands, which of the three you become. No masks to hide behind, little to no cabal, little to no, well, definitely no Illuminati. Not as many ETs or NTs groups, certainly ones that are interfering anymore. No global martial law. A hidden group was decimated in that week in 2019. Cloaked technologies destroyed or revealed. No psychotic AI, no simulation, no matrix, and the top order on this planet decimated down to a relatively few psychopaths. Only fear, threats, and a lack of responsibility keeps the illusion that the old order is still in control. The reality is, they are not. We have an opportunity, and you are on your own to create and be creative. Be free or stay in your own enslavement. Are you mind or heart based, real or fake? It's all out in the open now, and the frequencies are telling the real truth. Not the lies you spew out or have been fed and absorbed as fact. Disclosure people cry, but you've already had it. That is why you know of it. The question is now, what next? Do we carry on not caring, carry on not sharing, carry on in their image, or create our own image? And that image we create needs to be an almost 180 turn on what went on before. That failed. We failed. Now's the time for a new way, a different image, a progressive change, and a drive to take this world of children into a progressive, flourishing, adult-based species. The whispers in your ears are getting stronger as the reconnection to the higher self bonds closer and closer. But will you listen? So are you waiting for the event? Or have you realized yet you are the event? And the great question we started with, what is human? Now with a blank slate, it and we becomes what you make it. Choose wisely and learn to be nice to each other. Final part tonight. There is a bigger picture of dot connections right through this show tonight. Can you find them? People who look to God for the Saviour are not self-empowered people and do a disservice to Source. Stop asking for your God to fix all your own personal problems and learn to fix things yourself. Stop asking your God to be your own personal government and learn to govern yourself. And stop asking your God to be your own personal saviour program and learn to save yourself. That then makes you more empowered. And that very fact will please your God or Source that you have developed in that way. Your God or Source is not here to be your own personal slave system. Fix this, fix that, save this and save that. Just quit it and do things yourself. They love to create fear because it's something they can control. But they fear love because it's something they can't control. This was said by William Douglas, a US Supreme Court Justice in 1939 through 75. As nightfall does not come at once, neither does oppression. There is a twilight when everything remains seemingly unchanged, and it is in such a twilight that we must be most aware of change in the air, however slight, lest we become unwitting victims of the darkness. The twilight, or the great void of the darkness, is only there because enough haven't turned onto their power and their light. In as above, so below, as within and so without, you are the light the world awaits for in the twilight zone, awaiting for you, the eternal sun, to turn on your light. As above, so below. As within, so without. I am the twilight, TW, I light. So join alongside me in lighting our beacons. Taking a break last week from incessant writing, thoughts and ponderings, interference and game playing, projects of varying degrees, I decided to take a break and go back to a favourite place at my last abode. A valley with mountains on all sides, punctuated by a babbling brook that was still iced over in many parts. And the snow had fallen heavy there, and is still packed at around a foot high in that valley. But as I ambled through bare trees across the snow-covered ground and took in the silence as the sun rested atop of the hillside, I reached a point where the mountain on one side, there was a steep vertical drop. And yet I marvelled how trees grow on that steep vertical cliff face. How they still stood upright on a vertical rock. They still stood tall in the face of adversity whilst the ground beneath them was crumbling, and it is a lesson for us all. The trees, unlike us, kept their memory. They learned the lessons of life that can be a key lesson for us all. The trees learned to stand tall and be proud, to go out on a limb, reach for the sky, adapt to change, branch out, and stay grounded whilst remembering their roots. They drink plenty of water, get rid of the deadwood, never stop growing, learn to bend before you break. They turned over a new leaf each year and grew with it, all whilst taking in the view, particularly the overview. You can't see the forest for the trees, they say. So become the trees is the answer. As all trees collectively come together to build the TBC forest. Reach above the bot-based canopy and stand tall and proud. Reach for the sky, but don't limit it to one sky. This sky is their limit. Don't make it ours as well. Bye for now.